Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Jesus, thou art standing outside the fast closed door, in lowly patience waiting to pass the threshold o'er. Shame on us, Christian brothers, his name and sign who bear. Oh, shame, thrice shame upon us to keep him standing there. Jeremiah chapter 8. At that time, saith the Lord, they shall bring out the bones of the kings of Judah, and the bones of his princes, and the bones of the priests, and the bones of the prophets, and the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, all out of their graves. And they shall spread them before the sun, and the moon, and all the host of heaven, whom they have loved, and whom they have served, and after whom they have walked, and whom they have sought, and whom they have worshipped, and they shall not be gathered, nor buried. They shall be for dung upon the face of the earth. And death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of them that remain of this evil family, which remain in all places whither I have driven them, saith the Lord of hosts. Moreover, thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord. Shall they fall, and not arise? Shall he turn away, and not return? Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit. They refuse to return. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, What have I done? Every one turned to his course, as the horse rusheth into the battle. Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle, and the crane, and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people know not the judgment of the Lord. How do you say, we are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? Certainly in vain made he it. The pen of the scribes is in vain. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken low. They have rejected the word of the Lord. And what wisdom is in them? Therefore will I give their wives unto others, and their fields to them that shall inherit them. For every one, from the least even unto the greatest, is given to covetousness, from the prophet even unto the priest. Every one dealeth falsely. And they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not ashamed, at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall. In the time of their visitation they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. I will surely consume them, saith the Lord, and there shall be no grapes on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree, and the leaf shall fade, and the things that I have given them shall pass away from them. Let's pray that we'll understand this very doleful picture, and pray that it will not be repeated in our time, in our land, or others. Some, it may even already be coming. Let's pray that it may not yet be too late, that we will repent and believe. Our Father, we give thanks for all of thy word, for its very grievous predictions and prophecies, as well as its promises and the gospel, the good news of Christ. We give thanks, Father, because we need warning, and we know that we will not come to him who became a curse for us if we do not know thy curse on ourselves. And we pray that we might see that though this was written and spoken many years ago for Judah, for Jerusalem, and by Jeremiah, that is a word that is equally fitting for us today, that we are as sinful as they were, and that we may see it both for all of the people of the land, and as well as we read here, the leaders and the ministers of the land. All of them together were guilty, and we pray that we together might come to be ashamed and come to repent. We pray, Father, that thou would give that grace of repentance as we hear these words, and that we may have yet a repentance unto life, even a repentance that will lead us to Christ. We pray for these blessings, first of all, for all of us, for young and old, for sick and healthy. We pray that we all may need it, may know that we need it. Father, we know that even in health we can die suddenly, and we pray for those in sickness that they might be given health, if it could be thy will, that they might through sickness be taught and know the peaceable fruits of righteousness, even through these afflictions. We pray, Father, for those in older age, the elderly. We pray for those in suffering in other ways, the hungry, the homeless, the war-torn lands, those that are persecuted for thy name's sake. We pray, Father, they may know, each and every one of them that are thy children, that all things do work together for good to them that love thee and are called according to thy purpose, and that without that love, and particularly to Christ, that we are under thy curse and judgment. We ask it all through Christ. Amen. As we look once more at the very solemn words of Jeremiah, he who was called the weeping prophet, and part of what he wrote were called the Lamentations of Jeremiah. We see here Judah upbraided. We see here also the judgment that will come because they will not give heed to that upbraiding. We read in verse 7, yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming, But my people know not the judgment of the Lord. Sadly, oft times we know neither the Word of God nor the judgments that follow if that Word is not heeded. It is terrible if we do not heed the Word, but if we do not repent even in time of judgment, then there is no hope. And that seemed to be what was taking place here with Judah. And though it is history of the past, we know that we're often told that history repeats itself, and those who do not learn from history will see often the same things in judgment repeated as others experienced. That well may be our lot today. And certainly many of the things that are spoken of here will take place again in the end of time, as we can read of some of the same things in the book of Revelation, as we read here. We read here of their unwillingness to repent. And as we already mentioned, even in the time of judgment, first of all, in this chapter, we read of the terrible things that are going to happen, that all the bones are going to be brought out and laid in the sun that they worshipped, and they worshipped under every green tree. They worshipped the host of heaven. We read in verse 2, the last part, whom they have loved and whom they have served and after whom they have walked and whom they have sought and whom they have worshipped, shall they not be gathered nor buried? They shall be for dung upon the face of the earth. Today there are many that are also worshipping nature, not in the right way, not as the psalmist says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and that's recognized. And out of that, we want to do God's will, but many want to make nature itself subservient to their ways, to them, and often want to make others subservient also to very foolish ways, wicked ways. Many want to save things in nature and yet kill those who have been created in God's image, mankind, children, killed in the last place that they should be killed, in their mother's womb. Yes, oft times the same people that worship nature show their utter disdain for God, for His Word, for His creation, in the way that He is to be recognized and worshipped in it. That seemed to be the case here. They served these elements in nature, certainly not the right way. But learning from the heathen how they worshipped the elements in nature that God had created, that God was giving for the blessing of mankind, the sun, the rain, the warmth, all of that made things grow, made them able to live in comfort upon the land. But all of this was foolishly, wrongly twisted, and worshipped in a way that dishonored God. And because of it, God said this would happen. He is a God in control. Many times He allows man to go on their way, even to such an extent that the psalmist said in Psalm 23, wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? But he also learned and then finally understood their end. And here we read the end of those who had sinned for many years in this particular time in history. They had sinned and gone on. They, their fathers, all of them together. Sometimes you read of what the fathers and the children do together. In the last chapter, chapter 7, we could read in verses 17 and 18, seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle a fire, and the woman knead their dough to make cakes to the queen of heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. And that's what they did. They provoked God to anger, the God who is long-suffering, the God who is merciful, the God who was at this time still sending his prophets. Others, as well as Jeremiah, and particularly Jeremiah, sending them, as we read, because he had compassion on his people and on his place. Compassion on those that were provoking him to anger. He waited. But then, as he also caused the writer of Scripture to state, till there was no remedy. It finally gets to such a state that there can be nothing but judgment, nothing but death. Sometimes society gets so confused, so wicked, so much in terrible ways, that there is really no good way ahead, no good way to return to. We are fast hastening to that. We are so confused in our homes. I have seen children really that lived in the same home and ask each other, well, how are we related to you? They didn't hardly know so much of a mixture in marriage and all that was taking place. They didn't know each their own place, their own parents. All confusion. Daniel stated later, as we read some time ago, to us born with confusion of faces, as it is at this day. Daniel recognized it. Will we recognize it? Will you recognize it in any land that you live? We in our country, the United States of America, and we first of all in the church, will we recognize it where we should? And will we know that this is first of all oftentimes for leaders, leaders who here were crying peace, peace, when there was no peace? And Jeremiah says, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. He says, everyone from the greatest to the least is given over to covetousness, from the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. The last ones that should deal falsely were the prophets and the priest. They should be crying out to the others who were doing it, stop, repent, return. But here they were also doing it. There was a time in Scotland, still shortly after the Reformation, that this was recognized. And there was a time when a number of ministers were gathered together, and one of them, we read, freely rebuked the ministers for their negligence and profanity, stating his opinion that most of them were the merriest and the most careless of Scotland. Shortly afterwards, he took again his theme in a short harangue of the sins of all parties. Ministers neglected their duty in pursuit of self-interest. The leaders had become either enemies of God's truth or disobedient to it. He declared that there was utter contempt for God's word and the ministers that stayed true to it that could be found among them. Then he concluded, now we have to avert the cause by unfeigned repentance, and to be had in public fasting and prayer, and quickly stirring up the dullness. This is what we need today. And thankfully, we could read later of that same time, there was a willingness of the ministers to take the lead in acknowledging and confessing their own sins. And then the person that makes the summary of this, he says, in our day, there is a tendency in some ministers to blame anyone but themselves, whether it be the government, society, or other church leaders. If apostasy begins in the ministry, repentance and reformation should begin there too. We hold our conferences, our fraternals, our annual assemblies, our preaching rallies. But when do we have a calling for days of fasting, humiliation, and prayer? Yes, we can leave that as a question. Is it answered? When do we have that? I fear they had it much more in the past than in the present. Jeremiah was one who was faithful. Daniel was one who already carried away captive, was also faithful in confessing, "We and our fathers have sinned." And he said, "I was confessing my sin." Here, each and every one, the least to the greatest, from the prophet even to the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. No truth. Only lies. What a terrible thing. Peter warns about wresting the scripture to our own destruction. It's a terrible thing if we want to find excuses, even in the scripture, rather than the truth of God's word. The truth that the Lord Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, you will know the truth." This holy book, the Bible, is truth. Truth in describing those of the past. Truth in calling us to learn from them. As Paul said later to the New Testament church, "These things were written for our examples, upon whom the end of the earth is come." In this 8th chapter of Jeremiah, the 3rd verse, we read, "And death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of them that remain of this evil family, which remain in all places whither I have driven them, saith the Lord of hosts." This evil family, some of them still there in Jerusalem, some of them already had been carried away captive, and he speaks of that for both. And I think we can see it in two ways. Not necessarily they just said that they were saying, "We want to die," but they were choosing the way of death, which is sin, unbelief. We may not believe it, but it's true. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. We must believe that. We must know it to be true. And if we just are careless before it, we are choosing death. We are choosing the way of unbelief. The scripture must be believed. That's first. Believe to be true. We must believe in this word as a word from the God who wrote it. Over and over we read, "Thus saith the Lord." This is the message. God spoke it. God ordered it to be written. Sometimes God speaks directly, "I am the Lord." Other times he speaks to the prophet and they say, "Thus saith the Lord." This chapter begins with the words, "At that time saith the Lord." It may not have been happening when it was written, but it would soon take place, and all that was written, all that was spoken by Jeremiah, was fulfilled. This is one thing about God's word. What he states, what he orders to be told to the people, what he orders to be written, will take place. And what has been written either has already taken place, as it did in Judah at this time, these people that were here described, they were either destroyed or they were carried away captive to Babylon. And these people continued in their sin, and death shall be chosen rather than life. Yes, as I said, we can choose it in two ways. We can choose it in the way that leads to death. People that choose the way of sin of man with man are often choosing the way of death. There's a very high death rate of those who choose this sinful lifestyle, and it leads to what's called HIV, AIDS. Very many of them contact that, and they have a very, for the average, very early death. And I would plead with you, if you're such a person, don't choose death. Choose life. Life in God's way. Life in repentance. Life in Christ. God's love toward you, and that he gave Christ the great physician to heal your soul, your body, your mind, so that you may believe the truth. You may not just listen to the lie that Christ, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Sadly, there are many that are looking for life by physical means, by supposed cures, and there are things that give some help. I've heard people speak of it in their sickness, and Some of these remedies may give help, but why not choose life first? Choose truth first. Choose God's way first rather than the devil's. And then seek to have to be pulled out of the terrible sicknesses that follow that sin. Follow it often before death. But death follows oftentimes that sickness, and often at an early age. As I said, history repeats itself. Here when we read, they choose death rather than life, they are choosing sin. But there are also times that are still coming. God speaks of it, that men will actually choose death itself and will not be able to find it. When we go to the book of Revelation, we are finding somewhat the same thing. Judgment, over and over. We see that it is there and it's coming. And we read that the angels described there were sent, and judgment came upon the earth. It was given to them that they should torment the people. And we read in those days, Revelation chapter 9, verse 6, in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Times will be so terrible. Sin will have run its course. God's anger will be made known, and men will be under these terrible, terrible plagues that come, that God will send. And then men will seek to die and will not be able. It says, death shall flee from them. They'll have to suffer God's judgment. If you or I are one of them, we'll have to suffer under God's judgment that is to come. There's but one hope. There are those who even were in tribulation. The terrible tribulations that are coming. Yes, on God's children as well. Or those who will be saved out of the terrible ways of sin and destruction and death. This picture is also there in the book of Revelation. One of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these that are arrayed in white robes? Whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Thankfully, that message is with us today. If we see sin, if we see the tribulation that is coming in some countries far more than others, look to the Lamb of God. Ask him to wash your robe, your sinful robes, in his blood.
To God be the glory.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise